Hello, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Oh, that's right, I always forget.
Hey, it's not even Mercury retrograde anymore.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is three astrologers. We are three astrologers that love to share our love of astrology with you. And we love to, we are speaking to you from three different corners of the globe, or at least two and a half over there. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota. And I'm joined by two wonderful New York astrologers. My first, Mark.
Mark Wolf in New York City on the island of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. And Anne Ortley. I'm sorry. And Anne Ortley on the Upper East Side in Manhattan in my bright red desk. On a gray and rainy night.
Yeah, you need that part
and
right today.
I know.
It's a beautiful night here, and the full moon, because the full moon in Scorpio, the moon will be full in a couple of hours, is absolutely enormous. I've never seen anything quite like it rising up over the hills this winter, this night. Clear, clear sky after many stormy weeks. So we are loving that full moon. And it is a broody, moody, kind of stormy on the inside, if not on the outside, moon in Scorpio. You say it's raining there?
Misty rain, you know, that kind of, it rained all day, but the misty stuff now tonight, you know,
yeah,
where you're
misty,
walking in, it's like London.
I think of that mysterious, anything could be waiting on the other side of the fog.
Yes.
Spooky, Scorpio, Seattle-y energy, very much the Scorpio weather system.
Yeah, kind of like a Halloween night, you know, like leaves blowing and the wind blowing in the mist, and you're kind of like, ooh, you know, are there ghosts, are there goblins? But yeah.
I remember Ariel Gutman talking about how when you do geodetic astrology and you spread the zodiac around the globe, looking at where Aries hits the midheaven through the east coast, then you have Capricorn on the midheaven through the east coast. Then it goes Sagittarius through most of the west. You have the Marble Man territory from all through the middle of the country. The minute you hit west of the Mississippi, right down the Mississippi, you see that split, and then right up the San Andreas fault line, it becomes, and it's Scorpio on the midheaven up through the fog belt, Seattle, the northern coast of California. I remember that foggy atmosphere that is very mysterious, beautiful when it comes clear, like the smile of a Scorpio when the sun breaks through them is also glorious because it's not always that common.
Yeah, they raise eyebrows. They don't always smile. Just the one eyebrow up slowly on the left or the right.
And
you go.
And in some traditions, this full moon, the second full moon of the year, is considered Buddha's birthday. Now, the old scriptures say that the second full moon of the year, they all agree, was Buddha's birthday. We just can't agree on when the first full moon is because there are different ways of starting the year. But to many traditions and to astrologers, the second full moon of the year, the sun in Taurus, moon in Scorpio, fits with the image of Buddha's birthday because it is all about discovering and transcending our desire nature, of really looking at what we want, what we're attached to, and it is through that power that, the whole Buddhist approach of moving beyond the desires, no longer being uncentered by your desires as a path to enlightenment. And only someone who had been really tortured by them would have really investigated that, as far as I can see.
Someone who's merely tortured by their desires would investigate them.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone who understands the pull of them and could choose that intense focus to move past them.
Mm-hmm.
And the description of Buddha as a Taurus, Moon, and Scorpio always fit to me. That starting off in the lap of luxury and then moving through, looking at life and death and responding intensely and with the extremes that Scorpio is prone to, when he went through all the extremes of asceticism after being the extreme lap of luxury that he was born into, and then chose the middle way afterwards. So we may be looking at all of our lives right now at those extremes, and where is our middle path? I thought that the headline around the head of the International Monetary Fund, who was in trouble for wanting something that was not his, which is the trick with this Scorpio, is we understand what we want, but when we don't want something that really is not ours to have, is it? How do we handle that? And if the reports are true, he wanted the maid that came to his hotel suite, and he grabbed her and tried to rape her and was arrested for this. And he was about to run for president of France, where in France they've been overlooking his peccadilloes for a while, and here he was arrested for it, which I'm very proud of the New York police for doing.
Yeah,
because that took guts.
Went and pulled him off the plane, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Even though they knew it was going to be a major political hassle.
Big political problem. Don't go pulling IMF guy off plane. We get all excited. Well, I had heard that, you know, one of my students is really following it, and apparently there was another woman who, a reporter who he had accosted, and, you know, she didn't press charges, although she had, you know, gone and she didn't push because there was, you know, nobody would believe her, and it was kind of a difficult thing, but, you know, because he is who he is, and so she didn't press. But, you know, there is a rape kit on her, too, so usually this kind of stuff, they've done it before, you know, so...
Yeah, and
not a first-time criminal.
Quite a lot of stories coming out.
Yeah,
of about him to back up this woman, who was an African immigrant. And again, I'm proud of New York for backing her over his word. It could easily have also been, your conspiracy theorists could say that he was set up, but the evidence really points to him thinking that he could get away with this.
Right.
So it's a study for all of us to look at what do we desire,
and where do we think we're going to get away with it?
Do we have a right to it? Yeah. Can we let go of what really won't further for us to reach for?
Right.
Mark, how are you seeing this? You know, because very recently, Mars, Mercury, and Venus all left that feisty Aries and has gone into Taurus. I'm certainly feeling a lot more patient this week than I was last. How about you, Mark?
Yeah, there's a sense of patience, or I should say, less of a sense of impatience than we're experiencing. That's kind of how I notice it. I don't feel like people are particularly patient, but there's just less of an intensity and a little more breathing room. So that's good.
Yeah.
Makes it feel more, you know, with Taurus, we're in the middle section of spring, and it feels like that. But, oh, you know, we can slow down now and enjoy spring for what it is. And there's less of a sense of anticipation. Is it coming? You know, what's going to bloom next? And more, let's enjoy what's in bloom today. And that's kind of a Taurus way about it, you know.
That is a beautiful description of that Taurus energy. If you know, if I think that other side of that, if you can, where we can really enjoy what we have rather than reaching for what we don't have, we've got the benefit of the Taurus that can really find contentment in a patch of sunshine and a leaf and, you know, good simple food and feeding the senses in the simple, organic way.
And helping them become
there's a real quality of being in the moment and very much present and getting the maximum out of what is present with Taurus.
Now,
whereas
I don't
Aries,
think this is...
You know, there's always a sense with Aries that we have to keep moving, you know, looking ahead. There's something else. Something's coming in. What could it be? You know? And then, so it's hard to be in the moment. with that kind of Aries in it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and I think this will only intensify during the week, both the desire to root, like you mentioned. I had an overwhelming urge yesterday to put plants in the ground, and I realized later that was the Taurus piece. And now, how do we do that symbolically in the rest of our lives? Put plants in the ground.
What do you want to plant? It's a good week to do it.
Yeah, what do you want to plant? And this is going to intensify as Venus, Mercury, and Mars now all form a trine to Pluto for the rest of the month. And there's for the rest of the week, and then we'll feel it echoing through the rest of the month. And
yeah,
that what we long for, you know, sometimes our longing is good. It helps us really know our heart and reach for and put some effort into what has felt like just past our reach. But then how do we reach for it in a way that is fair and healthy for us as well as that is really more in line with our calling. Sometimes that desire nature, reaching for what we do not have, is a way of medicating the feelings that we have, whether it's reaching for that chocolate bar in the top drawer and I know just where it is, or is it reaching for a person, or, you know, thinking that if I just had that, one more piece over there, one more money, one more this, a job even, I just had this, then I wouldn't feel like I do. And where is that not really the case, but just our illusion under this lineup? Because that Venus-Mars is going to conjunct, and it's going to conjunct in Taurus. So it will feel really good to lie in the sunshine on the beach, and I'm thinking of you on Fire Island, but it is not, can also turn up that almost painfully on what we think is missing in our life.
Well, and I do think with Taurus there can be a really deep longing for what we want, or, you know, because the keywords are I have, but, you know, it also is, you know, I don't have and I would like this. So I've had like 4 or 5 clients all get back with broken up boyfriends in the last couple of weeks. Last week. And I was like, really, you're back with them? You know, and, you know, you have to kind of be, what are you doing? You know, but I'm like, we didn't this guy have a sociopath that we didn't like? but at the same time, you know, whatever. Not my, you know, their life, their relationship. And they're like, well, I was kind of lonely. And I think of May as being very lusty. You know, my favorite song is Julie Andrews, you know, it's May, the lusty month of May. And, you know, it gets the flesh a-rolling, you know, where you kind of want to get naked and have fun and do something, you know, with your body physically.
Fertilize those fields.
Fertilize those fields,
away.
Right.
Yes.
You know, do a Beltane ritual and, you know, get naked in the plow fields. And so, you know, I kind of was like, all right, well, maybe it's because it's May, you know, that they're having this. It is Saturn retrograde. They can go back, you know, but at the same time, it's like, really? But
I think it's pure chemistry. Well, again, that is that addictive cycle
of Taurus.
Looking for the answer at the outside of us and kind of addicted to the senses.
Yeah, Taurus likes its senses, and so it goes, well, you know, this is something I know, and, you know, that'll be good. And, you know, and I want to be taken care of, because there is a part of Taurus that really likes the indulgence of being cared for rather than having to do the hard work of caring for itself.
Right, all that cuddliness.
All that cuddliness. It likes to just cuddle up and say, take care of me. So, but I think it's good. You know, it's you know, it's Taurus, it's time, it's Earth. The Earth is alive. We're all awake. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really what it's about.
The other thing that's helpful to remember is, you know, Taurus is very material. So people are, I'm also hearing of them wanting stuff, lots of stuff. If only can have the new sunglasses, the new front porch, the new this, the new that. But the word material comes from mater, the mother. And the original materialness is just acknowledging the sacredness of the earth around us, of our own bodies, of, you know, the spirit made manifest in the world around us. And if we can find that what we're lusting after is the beauty of the flowers on the trees and the beauty of the spring sunshine and the first fruit that comes up. It doesn't have to be always wanting more stuff that takes money and is out there and gets us hooked. It's when the material world becomes unhooked from spirit instead of becoming vehicle for spirit that it becomes an addiction that's never fed.
Right.
And I like the translation of the Buddhist term, existence is suffering. The idea that it wasn't suffering, it was one of the original translations of that term was to be uncentered, like an axle on a wheel that was not in the right place. And so the wheel gets more and more out of whack and more uncentered, and the road gets rougher and rougher.
Hmm.
And I thought that, existence is uncentered, and the cause of the uncenteredness was desire, how we handle desire.
Right. Looking at, they have that and I want it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then going, right. Do you really want it? What do you want? What do you want? Is that what you really want your life to be like? And I think that's also towards.
Remember King Midas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very Taurus kind of, everything I touch will be gold.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds wonderful.
Right. Everything turns to gold, and then I can't eat it.
Right.
And starve to death. And kill my loved ones.
Right, because they all turn to gold, too.
So Venus and Mars and Mercury all move forward in Taurus,
mm-hmm.
and form a trine to Pluto next weekend. Then Venus and Mars conjunct in Taurus, just as the Sun squares Neptune. So this can be some lovely lusting, but it can also mean developing an addictive response to relationship. So I'm not surprised your relationship is getting worse. Your friend with her addictive relationship cycle is kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
And it can mean that we develop illusions about our relationships with that Sun-Neptune square. So I'd just ask people to stay really in the moment, enjoy their bodies, feel good about what they're doing, but don't think that they can see too far ahead in their relationship. Really make it work for them in the moment and in the week, but not read too much into that. It may just be lust. We don't know if it's love. It may just be a sparky moment or a desire to not be near, because some people respond to all this juicy energy by choosing to withdraw and pull back to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's overload, don't want to deal with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's a familiar person, you know what happens, you know how they work, and they know how you work, everybody's, all systems go, and it's easy. It's not, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, there's no fumbling and fiddling around, everybody's kind of in sync on these things. So that also can be part of it, too. And I think it's also because it is Taurus, there is a desire for physical touch, physical pleasures, physical.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also think we've been answering for the last month or so to Mars. Every planet in the sky has had Mars as its final dispositor, and now with this switch into Venus, everybody's answering to Venus. She's in charge of all the
mm-hmm.
planets in the heavens. And so it's a much easier energy, I think. It's it's
mm-hmm.
the goddess
mm-hmm.
of love, but she's also she can be a little demanding and wants what she wants when she wants it. She doesn't often get denied. So, but all the planets right now are very Taurus based. They're all answering
mm-hmm.
to Taurus. So to Venus
mm-hmm.
and Taurus. And so the heavens have shifted now totally from me, I want what I want, stomp, 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 yell. And now they're much more, okay, let's try it. Let's see what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, understanding that energetic shift is very strong, because we're all kind of in the mood now to kind of feel it on a slightly different level, a connectedness that maybe we didn't have before. So,
great.
Yeah. So it's good. Plus the trine to Pluto.
Let's give out the number. We only have 10 minutes.
Okay, 347.
I have an email from someone with a question. If we don't have a caller, but do we have a caller?
We have two callers.
Wonderful. Let's see if we can get 5 minutes each.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Start with a letter, start with a caller.
Start with a caller.
Okay. Hello, caller 760. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
11/5/1965 is my birth date.
You said 7/5/1965?
No, November.
Okay,
November. November 11.
November 11. Okay.
No.
So 11/5/1965.
Yes, 1965.
What time?
And
time?
8 o'clock a.m.
Where?
Mm-hmm.
Upland, California.
And what's your question?
What does my business future look like?
Okay, let us know a little bit about your business so we can see which. It looks like everything is under metamorphosis for you right now, and you're not sure where you're living and therefore what is going on with the rest of your life. As I see, you have Natalie, your moon in Aries, trining Mercury in Sagittarius, both in fire signs at the early degree. Uranus is going back and forth over your moon and trining your Mercury. So it's a very experimental, curious, want to try something new, not sure where, you know, kind of not sure that you're at home in what you've been doing. So what have you been doing, and what was your specific question about your work?
Well, I'm self-employed. I'm an accountant, and I'm kind of hit a dry spot. Tax season's over, and I've kind of hit a dry spot where I need to pick up some new clients and do something
mm-hmm.
to fill the rest of my year.
Mm-hmm.
And what have you done in the past?
Well, I've had clients, but it seems like they're all having financial difficulties, so I'm losing more than I'm gaining at this point, just because nobody can afford to pay outside accounting, or they don't have any activity to need accounting for.
Oh, okay. So you would go in and do their books for them kind of
yes.
on an ad hoc basis? Yeah.
Right.
And so now you're at this kind of turn. You were a virtual accountant. You would come in and do stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're starting a new 12-year cycle around developing a new direction for yourself with Jupiter down there in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And Natalie, Jupiter rules you. So the moving and the traveling piece never is going away. You like that running around doing a lot of different things in a lot of places. And the business model that you're under is fine for the most part, but you don't really do, doesn't look like you do marketing per se, you know, where you kind of actively go after new clients. You kind of get them more through word of mouth. So I think with the Uranus squaring the Jupiter and on the moon, you know, you've got a period of instability for the next 6 months to a year. So you probably want to come up with new ways to sell your ideas, you know, like I can help you, you know, you're starting a business, I can help you set up your books, you're starting this, I can help you do that, where you're working in groups, because Saturn's in the 11th house, so going to groups and doing presentations to them
mm-hmm.
could really help.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of the things is you look like you've been restless for a while. If you had any traveling that you wanted to do, now is the time to do it. If you have anything, you know, you've got 20 months away from sort of a turning point in your life about other things, about a new change that's coming in with your progressed lunar new moon. But if what I would suggest that you target specifically are businesses or companies that have to do with travel, with foreign, with foreigners coming into this country that need economic, that need help managing their books in America. With people, with businesses that are dealing with international clients, that are people that are coming, traveling through the area, and or educational institutions that need part-time help, that need someone to come in at a different schedule than the regular tax clients because their economic book systems are on a different program. So look for businesses that have an international clientele or are about travel or around education?
Well, you can see from my chart I'm not really outgoing. Do you have any suggestions? Do I just have to step out of my comfort zone in order to market? Because I do have a hard time with that.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do. What I would suggest is that it's very hard for you to market you, but you can market a business. In other words, if you were to set up a business that, you know, an accounting business, if you, you know, you called it, you know, Grasshopper Accounting, you could put, you could market Grasshopper Accounting. You just happen to be the only one who works for it. What
okay.
you can't do is market you under your own name comfortably.
Right.
There's tremendous privacy that you need about you. But you can be very outgoing about the work.
Okay. That's
it
a good
also
idea.
May be that, that you can, you know, reach into, look for companies that have a need for someone to come in-house a few hours a week rather than somebody that they're necessarily marketing to. You might find that setting up a website where, again, for the so-and-so accounting company, of which you are the sole employee, will help you reach them because you're marketing, you can let them know what you do and what you're capable of doing without having to be there visible yourself.
Okay. Good.
Well, I think she does that a little bit now, if I understood correctly.
Right.
She goes in, you know, like my case, you know, we have a data. You can come here and do my data entry. Actually, you know, I have to put in all my accounting records and everything has to be in the right little pile. And if I'm really busy, I get this big pile by my desk. And if I'm well behaved and I do it every day, it goes away. And so she hires out to go in and do that for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes,
she'll
mm-hmm.
do a couple hours a day, a week in different locations.
Yes, and that's what I like doing.
Yeah, because it gives you the variety and the runaround. But you also, I would go back and contact some of your older clients. You also have the eclipses going off in your chart. So if you go back to what was going on in 1992 and in 1973. So 73, you were little. That was your dad and your mom had it. But you had stuff in 92. Going back to that time, the eclipses that are coming in about a month are all kind of going to set that energy off again. And get you back into kind of some new connections with people. So it's really reconnecting and also saying to people, you know, I know you're low, but that, you know, this actually is a good cost of doing business. And going back and upselling to the existing clients stuff that you can do for them, you know, so that...
I just want you to really think about finding a way of reaching out to new clients because your chart is just itching for some change that would still give you privacy.
Okay. Okay, great.
Cool. Mark,
okay, good luck on that. And let's take the next caller in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
Okay. Hi, 813. How are you?
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
It's 3/21/74.
And how can we help you? And time?
The time is 12:32 a.m.
12:32 a.m. Where?
In Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay. And what's your question?
And I was career and money, career and finances.
Okay, career and finances.
And we've only got a minute left, so we're going to have to make this really quick. Was there a very specific question?
Having trouble with finances at the very, like, at this time. And, you know, just seeing, you know, with my career, I do actually do marketing and advertising.
And how can you now do marketing and advertising for yourself?
Doing web development, doing marketing
good.
For other
that
companies.
That seems to be the number one thing for you with Uranus going back and forth over your sun. And web development and some just old-fashioned walking in, you know, web development, first and foremost, of your own website. But then I see you just, you need, you're good at glad-handing people. You're good at face-to-face, talking people up, walking door-to-door, introducing yourself. And that feels important. We're going to have to go tonight. They're kicking us off the radio show. So I say, say good night to you and good luck on that. But reach out. You are your best sales pitch.
And you're having a lot of change over the next few months. Money will be tight for a while. So really cut back on your known expenses. You got money tight for a bit.
And watch it come back.
Yeah, and it'll come back more in the fall. It'll get a little easier. But you're kind of in a pinch right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
this is
Thank
Heather
you.
Rowan Robbins saying goodbye from Access Astrology, joined by
Ann Ortley in New York City with Bright Red Desk.
And Mark Wilson, also in New York.
Mark Wilson.
And
New York
Mark and Ann will be at the Open Center tomorrow night at 6:30 for the Astrological Meetup Group. And you can reach any of us for your own readings. Good luck, and feel this full moon coursing inside you in good ways. Let it help you understand your true heart, your true calling, and don't be hooked by its addictive edge. Have a wonderful week.
Tomorrow night is actually 8 o'clock.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Open Center is 8 o'clock because they're having a meeting.
Wonderful.
Meetup. Yeah. There's a little time delay there.
Okay.
Cool. So we'll talk to you all next week,
Take
folks.
Care.
Have a good week. Bye.
Good night.